Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
At about this time, a year ago today, a group of rioters broke into the U.S. Capitol. As it unfolded, Tanya Mosley and I were live on the air, and as part of our coverage that day, we asked people to help us make sense of what the world was witnessing.
Let's bring in Douglas Brinkley, Rice University history professor. Welcome. What a time we're in right now. I mean, I don't think any, well, we've never experienced this. I mean, put this into context, what we're seeing right now.
Well, you know, in American history, there are times that the Capitol has been a target. Obviously, the War of 1812, when the British burned Washington, and then in more recent time in 9/11, when the Pentagon was targeted, and some intelligence analysts believe the Capitol was a missed target.
As we were talking, rioters waving banners in support of Donald Trump were breaking windows, busting down doors, attacking Capitol police officers.
And Douglas Brinkley, if I could ask you a question here. I know we are in the early moments of this crisis. You were talking, suggesting that President Trump will need to take or will likely take some responsibility for goading on his supporters in this way. Talk to me more about that and how history might view this moment and the president's potential role in it.
It's going to view Donald Trump as inciting sedition and having a mass riot of undermining our democratic traditions. It's not a joke. It hasn't been funny following Donald Trump's behavior since the election day.
That was Douglas Brinkley on Here and Now, January 6th, 2021. A year later, let's bring him back to the show. Douglas Brinkley, welcome.
Well, thank you for having me. It's been a long year.
Yeah, it certainly has. And what's been on your mind today as we mark that year anniversary of this riot?
Well, I've been thinking about what we call it in history. I mean, some people call it the Capitol riot, others January 6th, the Capitol insurrection is another one. I think we got to always remember January 6th. It's a dark day on the calendar of American history, but we have to use the anniversary every year to remind people how fragile our democracy is. And basically inciting a mob onto the Capitol, this is big stuff in history. And we have to be very careful not to just treat it as a kind of one-off event, you know, meaning in coming years it gets smaller and smaller. I think we need to use January 6th as a smelling salt effect, something that just wakes up our mind and memory and tell us that we have to at all costs be citizen soldiers of democracy.
I'm curious what you think we should call it. You know, we've been talking about January 6th all week on this program, of course. And, you know, we're hearing from some people who say, how could you call it a siege? It wasn't a siege. You know, what do you call it?
It was an insurrection. It was that's the right word. You know, one could use riot, which is a little less than insurrection. It is not a coup d'etat. It didn't involve the U.S. military trying to overthrow the government. So it's the Trump insurrection of January 6th. That's what it should be known as. And a
but
capital
the point
attack.
Is there's a dispute, right? I mean, that's the point, is that there's a dispute about what it should be called.
It is. It's being disputed. And I think getting the language right is important. But I see how we made 9/11 work as memory. Every September 11th, we remember what happened, and now every January 6th, we're going to have to remember to happen. I worry if we lose the date that it will lose some of its wallop over time.
Speaking of remembering, I remember vividly that day. I also remember how stunned you sounded watching everything unfold the way it did. Let's listen back to another piece of tape.
I've never seen a mob be able to just walk into the Capitol in the middle of an important session when we're deciding the next president of the United States.
It sounded to me that even as this was happening, you knew that the attack on the Capitol would have a significant place in American history. In retrospect, with a year having gone by, has it become even more important? Will it hold an even more hallowed place in history?
I think it holds an even more hallowed place. I think Attorney General Garland reminded us that, you know, he had 725 charges, people that have been busted for felonies and for obstructing official proceedings. We've got to remember that people have gone to jail for this, but it's also a moment to reflect on the five people that were dead, killed, one fatally shot by a Capitol Police officer, and two died of a heart attack. A Capitol Police officer died a day from natural causes. It's also caused post-traumatic stress syndrome, not just for
suicides,
the first responders of the Capitol, but really all of America. We all went into a kind of shock. I'm still not sure I've recovered from the thought that it actually happened.
Yeah. I know that 2 days before the insurrection, you and other historians published a letter that warned about the disruption that seemed to be unfolding before our eyes. You said, and I'm going to quote here from the letter, "We deplore the effort to disrupt congressional certification of the results of the 2020 presidential election." And then you go on to say, "The people have spoken, the state legislatures have spoken, the Supreme Court has spoken, the Electoral College has spoken." In hindsight, I feel like it's safe to say that maybe you could have predicted this riot would have happened. Do you see the same thing today? You know, we have more elections coming up. Do you think we're in danger of repeating history?
Well, thank you for remembering that historian's letter. And I would tell you that what jarred me happened actually on September 29th, 2020, when during a presidential debate, Donald Trump said about the Proud Boys, a neo-Nazi group, he said, "Stand back and stand by." This was a president of the United States backing a kind of anti-government militia group and giving them that kind of play. And so the fact that Donald Trump, as ex-president, hasn't asked for forgiveness, hasn't been made culpable yet, and still has a Dayglo brand, which is really the Republican Party of today, with the exception of a few dissenters, is troubling. Because if the midterm elections occur and the Republicans get a hold of Congress, then it tells us that the lessons of January 6th are being considered less and less, that it just was, just a gaggle of good time right-wing partiers that ran amok. And for President Trump to still have some gasoline in his tank after trying to destroy our democracy, it is a warning sign. And I do worry about the future of American democracy if we can't learn the lessons of January 6th correctly.
Well, there is no doubt that there has been sort of an effort to shift the narrative away from the fact that this was an insurrection or a riot. And when you look at the work that the House Select Committee is doing to discover what the actual true root cause of the violence is, do you think that in the end those findings will be enough to counter this effort by supporters of the president to rewrite the history of that day?
I don't think it'll be able to rewrite the history. But, you know, a commission report's only as good as the witnesses and people that cooperate. Let's hope that the commission this spring can come up to some conclusions. But it'll never be a case-closed situation. There are always going to be puzzle pieces added to what occurred on January 6th. Because the president of the United States, sitting there watching this on television in the White House, as we all know, allowing it to go on and on, it's so dastardly. And it's going to be it's a sign about a kind of neo-civil war going on in our country now. You know, when Ken Burns did his Civil War for PBS, one of the commentators said the lesson of the Civil War is that it's not over yet. I used to think that was a kind of, you know, a little bit exaggerated comment, but we're seeing that our country's wounds have not healed about who gets the right to vote. And I'm worried about gerrymandering and the way that state legislatures and power mafias in states may be able to disenfranchise people. So it's really all hands on deck in our democracy right now. It takes a participation not just to vote in a democracy, but to be aware of people that are trying to deny you the vote.
Douglas Brinkley is a professor of history at Rice University. We spoke to you a year ago today, and we thank you for your time again now. Douglas, thank you so much.
Thank you.